Morning, today's daf Me'ilah's daf. Hey, we are on Dalam and Beis. We're starting at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud with the words Klal Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua gives us a rule. This rule of Rabbi Yoshua could already be found back in the Mishnah. If you take a look back at the first Mishnah of the Masechta, just a short couple days ago, the Mishnah introduced us to the idea of Me'ilah as it relates to Karbana, specifically that of Kachay Kachim. You have a carbon like a chatas, like an oshim, like a carbonola. So the din of me'ilah is going to apply to the carbon up until the point where you do the zrikas adam. Once you do a proper zrikas adam, so by carbonola, nothing changes because the animal is going to go up onto the mizbech and it files under the category of kachay Hashem, as we've discussed since the beginning of the Masechta. And therefore, the din of me'ilah is going to continue until it's reduced to ashes. Okay, so that we already established and concluded. But when it comes to chatzos and when it comes to asham, so the halach is that the din of me'ilah will be lifted, removed from the meat of a chatzos, the meat of the asham. And the reason is very simple. Because once you do a proper zrika, so now the kohanim are able to eat it, and it's kind of intuitive. If the kohanim are able to eat it, there's no longer a din of me'ilah. Otherwise, how in the world would the kohanim be able to eat it? Okay, but anyway, once you understand all the moving parts, it's very intuitive. Admittedly, it takes a little bit of time just to digest, and literally and figuratively. It takes a while to digest all this information, but that's a story with a chatas and asham, that with a proper zrikas adam, so the isra of me'ilah is removed from the basar. Obviously, the imurim still have an isra of me'ilah. That's kachi Hashem that's going up onto the mizbech. But as far as the basar is concerned, the basar is going to be is no longer going to have a din of me'ilah. That's the basic halacha. That's the ABCs. The Mishnah goes and it paints the corners, if you will, of the halacha. And that is, let's say the carbon was shechted bedarim. Let's say the carbon was shechted not on the north side like it should have been, but it was shechted in the south side. Is that going to be enough of a procedural error where now the zrika is not considered a good zrika? So that is the Mishnah's point. And the Mishnah says, Mo'alambo, it still has a din of me'ilah. And we are, first couple of days of the Masechta, discussed extensively. Does that mean it has a din me'ilah min HaTorah? Does that mean it's only a din me'ilah min Derabanan? So those are the discussions that we had over the first couple of days. And then the Mishnah goes through specific examples. Ketzad, the Mishnah goes through numerous examples of where you had a procedural error. Shachtam b'darim v'kibal damam b'tzafon. Le'yishachted in the south, you accepted the blood in the north. So b'tzafon v'kibal damam b'darim, or you shachted in the north and you accept the blood in the south. Shachab yam v'zakar b'layla b'layla v'zakar b'yam v'shachtam chutz zmanu chutz l'mekamon mo'alan behem. So in all these scenarios where there was procedural error that was done, nevertheless, there's still going to be a din of me'ilah. Klal Amar of Yoshua, good. So that was the Mishnah, and that's pretty much what we've been speaking about the last 3 days of the Daf. Daf's Beis Gimel and Dalet. Now we're going to cover the next point of the Mishnah. Next point of the Mishnah, Klal Amar of Yoshua. Rav Yoshua now gives us the following rule to work with. And Kol She'elo Shas Hetla Kohanim Ein Molim Ba. As long as the meat of the chatzos and the meat of the asham have a shas hetla kohanim, it becomes momentarily permissible to the kohanim. Now, I say momentarily because I'm just simply amplifying the Mishnah's point. Meaning, obviously, with a proper zrika that's done, it's going to be mutter for kohanim, period. But in other words, the Mishnah's point is that even if that's not a full-length heter, even if it's just a momentary heter, that still would be good enough to remove the me'ilah. But if there's no shas heter for the kohanim, so then there's no me'ilah. If we don't fully understand what the Mishnah is making at this point in time, the Mishnah then went on. I know this is all chazara, but it's good chazara. The Mishnah then goes on. So give me an example of something which has a shas heter lekohanim. So the Mishnah says, like lana, nitma'a, yatsa. Let's say we went through either lina. Now, lina is a little bit of a vague term. Lina can mean that the blood was left over. The lina can mean the meat was left over. Something was left over. I'm going to suggest right now, for now, that lina in the Mishnah means that the meat was left over. Meaning, no sir. All right, the term that we're used to hearing when talking about the meat being left over is no sir, not lina. But in the context of our Mishnah, right, it sounds more a little bit like the meat as opposed to the blood. The meat was left over. So that means what happened? The meat was left over. That means that we did the proper shechita and the kabbal sadam and the zrika, and now the kohanim get to eat, and the kohanim didn't finish it. Okay, but still, that shas had to look kohanim. Or the next example in the Mishnah, nitma'a, the meat becomes tamei. So again, we went through proper everything, and the kohanim are eating it, and the meat becomes tamei. Somehow the meat becomes tamei. So again, this is something that occurs after Heter LeKohanim, or Yatsa, or the meat was taken outside of the Azara. If you have the meat of Chatos or Ashan taken out of the Azara, now that is Psul, it's disqualified, the disqualification is called Yotze, and therefore that too is now something that had a momentary Heter, but now it does not, and so therefore there's no longer a din of Me'ila. Give me examples of things where there wasn't a momentary heter. The Mishnah does that as well. Ezu shelo hayala heter lekohanim shenishchetu chutzesman vechutzem kama. So now these examples are perfect. Let's say when the Kohen shechs it, he shechs it with a machshava of chutzesmano, or he shechs it with a machshava of chutzem kama. So these are examples where there was never a shas heter lekohanim from the moment that the avoda was done. Well before the Kohanim got to eat it, already there's a disqualification in the carbon. That's one example. Or Shekiba Psul and Vizarko's Dhamma. Or let's say you have somebody who is a Psul, non-Kohen, who does the Kabbalah Sadam. So that means that before we got to the point of Zrika, so already at this point in time, Kohanim didn't get a chance to eat it. There was never a momentary time of Heter for the Kohanim. So fine. So that's the rule of Rabbi Yehoshua. And for today's daf, and for half of tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing the rule of Rabbi Yehoshua. The heading of our Gemara is now just, I'm going to read it quickly because really all it is just a repetition of what we did in the Mishnah. Kla Amar Rabbi Yehoshua, Kol Shehaisa Lo Shaset L'Kohanim, Ein Mo'alam Ba V'Chol Shelo Haisa Lo Shaset L'Kohanim, Mo'alam Ba, Ezu Shehaisa Lo Shaset L'Kohanim, Lana Nitma V'Yishiyatza. Ve'Ezu Shelo Haisa Lo Shaset L'Kohanim, Shenishchete Chutz Zman V'Chutz Zimkom, V'Shekib L'Psul V'Zark V'Zdama. Okay. That was the heading, exactly what we said already in the Mishnah. Let's now advance the discussion. Amalei bar kapar labar pedas, or bar pada. So a discussion amongst Amoraim and ben achosi, right, the son of my sister, otherwise known as my nephew. So re'e ma atasholan lamachar bebeis medrash. Let's prepare for shir. Shir tomorrow is going to be on the Klal Rabbi Yehoshua, on Rabbi Yehoshua's rule. And as we're preparing for shir tomorrow, I'm already going to give you a heads up. What's going to be on topic for tomorrow in the Beis Medrash? So on topic is going to be the following. Rabbi Yeshua says that there has to be a momentary time of heter of the carbon for the Kohen in order for the Isser of Me'ilah, the din of Me'ilah, to lift from the meat of a carbon. That we know. At what point precisely is there going to be a heter l'kohanim? And I'm going to give you three options. One option is going to be heter shchita shaninu. Is it going to be that the shchita had been a proper shchita? Or heter zrika shaninu? Or does a Kabbalah Sadam have to be a proper Kabbalah Sadam? Now, I know the Gemara says the word Zrika, but here, if you read carefully, it says Heter Zrika, the allowance for Zrika. The allowance for Zrika means that we're up to Zrika, but we haven't gone to Zrika yet. Just like Heter Shchita means that, well, this part gets a little bit tricky. It's not a perfect parallel. Explaining the words Heter Shchita as we are Heter Zrika. The wording, I'm going to come back to in just a moment. Right now, I'm just going to say simple and hopefully good pshat in the Gemara. Heter Zrika Shaninu. So that means that we're ready to do Zrika, i.e. Kabbalah Sadam, was done successfully. Oh, Heter Achila Shaninu. Or is the Heter for the Kohanim the Heter of Achila, meaning we've done a proper Shchita, Kabbalah Sadam, and Zrika, and now Heter Achila, the Kohanim are able to eat it. Which stage do we say is the point of Heter Kohanim? Funny, if you would have asked me, my opinion being, of course, totally inconsequential to that of the Gemara's opinion, but if you would have asked me, I said Heter Achila. Meaning, isn't the whole point over here that the Kohanim are now allowed to eat it, therefore it's no longer Kashya Hashem? So it is interesting that for today's daf, in total, we're going to be entertaining the idea that it may not be the point of Heter Achila. Now, it happens to be the halacha is that it is, in fact, Heter Achila. But in terms of svaras and in terms of painting the corners of when exactly is it considered Heter Kohanim, the Gemara is now going to be, for a daf and a half, today and half of tomorrow, going to be entertaining the idea that the Heter could be at an earlier stage. Certainly interesting. And misvara, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to present, but obviously, as we go through the Gemara, we're going to try to explain the various svaras that would be an earlier, that Heter would be at an earlier stage. Fine. The language, the way the Gemara presents this, is a little bit unusual, right? There are three points which we're considering to be points of Heter. Either Heter Shchita, Heter Zrika, or Heter Achila. The first two, I think, are pretty clear. Heter Shchita means that the Shchita was done properly. Heter Achila is where we went through all the Avodas correctly, and now the Kohanim are able to eat it. Heter Zrika, So I've been telling you that Heter Zrika means that we've done a successful Kabbalah Sadam. It's a strange way to formulate it, quite frankly. If we're talking about where the Kabbalah Sadam was done correctly, so why don't we just simply say Kabbalah Sadam? Well, Heter Zrika. So it is a strange language. Tosfos says, really, the Gemara didn't have a better way to say it. The Tosfos, which starts on the bottom of the previous Amud, and continues now to the top of Hamad Aleph, so the Im Tomar. It is, as the lines get narrow, it's about another 5-6 lines down from there, right in the middle of the line. The Im Tomar, Kehecha de Kamar, Heter Zrika Shaninu, Kinasas HaKabbalah, Behechsher, Kamo Kach, Hayala Lomar, Kinasas HaShchita, Beheter, Behechsher Kabbalah Shaninu, Klamer Shabali Day, Heter Kabbalah. So Tosfos is bothered by this language of the Gemara. Tosfos acknowledges it's really, in terms of reading the Gemara, you read it the way I read it. That's for sure. But why use the language of Heter Zrika? Why not say something more like Heter Kabbalah? Okay, that's a wonderful question. V'yeishlamer de lo dame de gabi zrika shach shaper lashon Heter Zrika. Lefi kishen iskaba behechsher az mutal izrok. V'in miskaba bepsul asul izrok. Because consider the following. When we get to the point of Zrika, so the question we're going to ask is, can we or can we not do Zrika? And the answer is going to be very simple. Right. Shchita, anyone could do Shchita. Anybody could do Shchita. You could do Shchita, I could do Shchita. You don't need a Kohen to do Shchita. So there's no, after Shchita's concern, there is no question of who could do the Shchita because anyone can. But when it comes to Zrika, so now we have to ask a very simple question. Well, who did the Kabbalah Sadam? Who did the Kabbalah Sadam? So if it's a Kohen, so now we can go forward. And if it's not a Kohen, so we can't go forward. So, kinami nishcha bipsul in isla kabel. If I have a pasul doing the shechita, there's no problem with Kabbalah. Hikach lo shaych lomar heter Kabbalah, ela heter shechita. So when we're talking about heter Kabbalah, so it's not shaych. It's just simply... Right. There's no way to say heter Kabbalah. So, ela heter shechita. Klomar, shenaseh shechita beheter. Okay, and heter kohanim just simply means now that the kohanim can go forward and do the avoda. So granted that it's just a linguistic issue, but still it's an issue, and that's why the Gemara uses the terminology which at first reading, and trust me, there was a first reading, I wasn't going to say the pshat in the Gemara the way I just said it, but after reading it again and again, and with the help of the Rishonim, now I realize that Heter Shechita means that the Shechita was done correctly, Heter Zrika means that the Kabbalah was done correctly, and Heter Achila means now that everything was done correctly. Okay, anyway, with all said and done, so we are now looking at three possible points in which we have a Heter L'Kohanim. And so, obviously, we got to whittle down because of the three, we got to accept one of the three positions. Well, I already gave away what intuitively what I would have said is the correct approach, which is Heter Achila. It happens to be that the halacha accords, right? That's good when that happens. But in terms of analysis of the other two positions, the Gemara is going to do some of that. And now, what the Gemara is going to do, now I guess we are fast forwarding. Now we're in the Beis Medrash, and now we're hearing the opinions of various Amoraim. Chizkia Amar Heter Shechita Shanino. So according to Chizkia, it is in fact Heter Shechita. Meaning as long as the Shechita was done in a proper manner, this is now considered Heter L'Kohanim. Heter L'Kohanim, and by the way, we just said wonderful pshat in terms of how could that possibly be Heter L'Kohanim? Well, what are we talking about? Kohanim aren't allowed to eat it yet.
No, they can't do it.
Ah, right. But now after seeing Tosfos, I felt the same way. I felt like also that small breakthrough. Yeah, but it's true they can't do the avoda yet. I'm sorry, they can't eat it yet. Oh, I gave away my thought. They can't eat it yet, but they're now allowed to do the avoda. So when we talk about heter shechita, what we mean by that now is that with the shechita done properly, now the kohanim are able to continue doing the rest of the avoda. Okay? So that's one possibility. That's the opinion of Chizkia. And Rav Yochanan amar heter achila shaninu. And Rav Yochanan says it's heter achila. That when the din of me'ila is removed from the meat of chatas and asham, that's specifically at the end, after you've done the avoda, and now the kohanim are able to eat it. So it's at that point in time where now the isra of me'ila is lifted from the meat of the chatos and the meat of the asham. All right. Am Rabbi Zera lo daikim asisim delo kechizkia delo kerev Yochanan tenan. And now Rabbi Zera is going to take a look back at our Mishnah and try to discover whether or not either of these positions are tenable. By the way, there are... It, right, when preparing for Shira, there were three possible points. amongst the Amoraim quoted Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan, they're only now entertaining only two possible points. But okay. Tanan, we learned the following Mishnah. We learned in the following Mishnah, Shalana v'shenitma v'shiyatzas. The Mishnah gives examples of what is considered items where there is a zman heter, and that is either the carbon has experienced lina or tuma or yotze. Now, of lina, what do we mean when we say lina? Now, you already know this because you heard me already entertain two ideas when we learned the Mishnah and we reviewed the Mishnah. But now the Gemara is going to spell it out. Lav delan dam. So lichora, the word lina over here is a reference to the blood. And that means as follows. After you shech the karban, so now you must sprinkle the blood on the mizbech and you must do so today. If you do not do so by the end of today, and the end of today means sunset, if you do not do so by the end of the day, so now the blood is disqualified. And to put it in larger terms, the karban is disqualified because now I can't sprinkle the blood of the karban after sunset. So when the Mishnah here is referring to lina, ostensibly what the Mishnah means is that you left over the blood. V'ketani ein mo'alimbo. And it says in the Mishnah that because you didn't sprinkle the blood, so therefore there is no, there's no longer mi'ila. So there's no longer mi'ila, shema mina, heter zrika shaninu. So that means to say that what we're looking at over here is the heter of zrika. That seemingly is the pshat in the Mishnah. Well, that would be fine. The problem is, although we entertained it the night before, we went to shir, but when we went to shir, what were our possibilities? Either heter shchita or heter achila. Chizkiah said heter shchita, Rav Yochanan said heter achila. So now as we're learning the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is a seemingly a really good proof for heter zrika, that's not one of the positions that was taken in the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara's response is very simple, lo delan basar. So the Gemara says that we're talking about the lina of basar. Now, the lina of basar, like I said already, but it's fine. I don't mind saying it again. We normally describe that as nosar, not the word lina. But, okay. But lina just simply means it stayed overnight. And that if referencing the meat, it just simply means that the meat underwent the psul of nosar. Well, that's good. Meaning, and now we have a pshat in the Mishnah. Because if we're talking about the meat staying overnight, so that now means that we went through all the avodas correctly. The meat was, it was mutter the kohanim, and the kohanim didn't finish all the meat. So aval dam is darik, but the blood was actually sprinkled correctly. Mishum hachi ketani ein mo'alim bo. And that's why there's no longer a me'ila, because the meat was in fact mutter to the kohanim. Okay, so that's how we can explain the Mishnah, and by explaining the Mishnah in that manner, no longer does it serve as any kind of problem towards the opinion of heter achila, which is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Granted, by the way, I'll whisper under my breath, we don't have a salvageable pshat for Chizkiah in our Mishnah. Noted. Okay, tanan. We are going to be taking a look at the next part of the Mishnah. Give me an example of something that doesn't have a shas. Now we have the word kosher, it's really heter, but same idea. What is an example of something that does not have a shas heter for the Kohanim? So the Mishnah gives us examples where something went wrong either in the Shechita or in the Kabbal Sadam. Shechita was done with a machshava psul. Or Kabbal Sadam was done by a non-Kohen. So these are examples where there was no Shas Heter LeKohanim, and therefore there's still going to be Dinam Eli. Hechi Dami. So the Gemara says, now again, let's try to be clear. What exactly happened over here? Eli Medezarku Psulim, Vikablu Psulim. Now, are we talking about a scenario where a non-Kohen did the Zrika and a non-Kohen did the Kabbalah Lamali? So the Gemara says, you know, that's a bit much. That's foul on top of foul. Meaning, once the non-Kohen does a Kabbalah, do you know that we wrap it up and we all go home? I'm being facetious, but not by much. Meaning, it's over. The karban is over. And if the non-Kohen did the Zrika, again, we'll say the same thing. It's all over. But if we're talking about where a non-Kohen did the Kabbalah and a non-Kohen did the Zrika, so then it's over and it's over? that's much. That's too much. So, ad di ika tarte, alalab di kablu psulim, vizarkuk sherim. So the Gemara says, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to pinpoint where exactly the foul occurred. Did the foul occur at the point of Kabbalah or did the foul occur at the point of Zrika? So what we're going to suggest is that it was, even though the Mishnah says both, but it's really only one. Of the two, which one? The Kabbalah was done by a pasul. And the Zrika was done by a kasher. Okay, so if the Kabbalah was done by a pasul, so what does that mean? Ketani mo'alim bo. And the Mishnah says this is an example of there was a Shas Hetel HaKohanim. Well, Shas Hetel HaKohanim, when? Ah, the Shas Heta LeKohanim was the Shechita was done correctly. Ah, okay, fine. Shema Mina Heta Zrika Shaninu. And the so as long as there was a Shas, I'm sorry, a Heta Zrika, meaning Kohen did a Shechita, and on top of that, the Kohen did also a proper Kabbalah, then and only then is that considered something which is no heter lekohanim. But as long as the shechita was done correctly, so then we're going to be fine. Meaning that's going to be considered a shas heter, and the isra, the din of me'ilah is going to be lifted. So the Gemara says, so it's so interesting. So we have a Mishnah where the Mishnah describes a non-kohen doing the Kabbalah and non-kohen doing the Zrika. Okay. And the problem, again, the problem that is, that we're addressing is a really simple one. Why mention both? If a non-kohen was to do either of those activities, it would be disqualified. And so what we said now is that, you're right, the Mishnah has to be read in a somewhat looser manner. Meaning it's not that non-kohen did both, the non-kohen did one of the two. That's how we're reading our Mishnah. So we're reading our Mishnah with a little bit of poetic license, a little bit, so that the Mishnah doesn't make imperfect sense. Fine. The Gemara says, but I'll tell you what. This is not the first time we've encountered such a dilemma. We've encountered a similar type Mishnah back in Zvachim. Now you remember back in Zvachim, blood of a carbon chatzos goes on the clothing of a Kohen, so it needs to be laundered. Now, I'd say always. In other words, the Kohanim would like to go to work with, you know, with clean clothing. Although, I imagine, though, working with carbonos, it's hard to keep it clean. But still. But what we're describing over here in terms of the mitzvah of laundering, it's a special mitzvah of laundering. If chatos blood goes on the clothing, so there's a special halacha that is recorded in the Torah, and the Gemara in Zvachim discusses it in detail, that requires kibbutz, it requires laundering in the Azara. Right? And you can ask me, where exactly is the laundromat in the Azara? And admittedly, as we are going to learn Masechta Midos, that place is not identified. But okay, it doesn't matter. The point is that there's a special din kibbutz in the Azara, which blood that goes on the clothing. Now, it's not any blood chatas that goes on the clothing. It's blood chatas that has yet to be sprinkled, but is fit to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. That blood, and only that blood, has a special halacha of kibbutz. The Mishnah in Zvachim, it gives us a halacha. Now, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be seeing the same dilemma in the Mishnah in Zvachim that we're experiencing over here in our Mishnah in Me'ilah. Chatas psula in damatan kibbutz. Now, if the chatas is a disqualified chatas, there is no special kibbutz requirement. It doesn't matter whether there was a shas kosher or there was no shas kosher. Meaning, if the blood is disqualified for whatever reason, there's no special din of kibbutz. Ezushi shahaisala shas kosher. And then the Mishnah says, and I'll give you examples of what are considered shas kosher and what is considered not shas kosher. Ezushi shahaisala shas kosher v'nifsala shalana v'shinitma. Oshiyatza. So examples would be where it experienced lina, or tuma, or yotze, just like our Mishnah. And ezu shalai sal shas kosher. And give me examples of those things which do not have shas kosher. Shenishchata chutzim limkama v'chutzas mano. When you shechted it with a machshavas psul. Good. Or here's the part obviously that we're going to highlight and focus on. V'shekiba psulim v'zarkuas dama. You had non-Kohanim who did the act of Kabbalah, of receiving the blood after the animal was shechted, and non-Kohanim who did Zrika, who sprinkled it. And again, it's going to be the same issue. It's foul and it's foul. That's a double foul. And in terms of disqualification, either one would have been enough to disqualify the carbon. If you have a non-Kohen doing the Kabbalah, DQ. If you have a non-Kohen doing the Zrika, same thing. Also DQ. So, hechidami ilim tekablu psulim v'zarku psulim hu de'ein damatam kibus hakeblu v'zarku ksherim damatam kibus karikan asher yazam midama v'lo shekvar huza. So the Gemara says, and again, the Mishnah over there. Well, if we had now a kasher, let's substitute out. Let's say in both of the cases of Kabbalah and Zrika, instead of having a zar, we had a kasher. Oh. If I had a kasher doing the Kabbalah, and I had a kasher, meaning, I say kasher here, I mean Kohen. If I had a Kohen doing a Kabbalah, and I had a Kohen doing the Zrika, now what? Now, we're done. And it's, in terms of the special halach of kibbutz is concerned, no longer. Because the special halach of kibbutz is asher yazeh midama. we are going to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. If we already have now the kasher, having done Kabbalah and having done Zrika, so now the blood is sprinkled, and aren't we done? And the answer is simple, simple. Yes, we are. And is there a special halach of kippus? And the answer is no, there isn't. So when you're reading the Mishnah over there in Zvachim, and it's the same format as our Mishnah over here, we're going to run into the same problem. The Mishnah can't be read literally. The literal reading of the Mishnah simply is an untenable reading of that Mishnah. So El Alav Dafka. So the Gemara says, okay, so when you read that Mishnah over there, the Mishnah over there is imprecise. Meaning that the Mishnah over there is just giving me examples of where the psul occurred before we got to the point of Zrikas Dam. Or to the point where we finished Zrikas Dam. It could be that the non-Kohen did the Kabbalah. It could be that the non-Kohen did Zrika. But it can't be both. And just to reiterate, the reason why it can't be both is because if we subbed out a non-Kohen with a Kohen, and a Kohen did both, so then, of course, there's no halacha of kibbus. There's no special halacha of kibbus, because now we're past the point of Zrika. And therefore, there's no kibbus. So, hachinami lav dafka. So, just like over there in the Mishnah Zvachim, when reading that Mishnah, we have to read the Mishnah in an imprecise manner. So, come back over here to our Mishnah. So, our Mishnah also is going to be read with imprecision. Fine. So, the Gemara says that's how it's going to work out. So, I'm Rav Asi, in kein lamali lemiste tarte. So, Rav Asi says, look, that's too much to ask for. We have a Mishnah in Me'ilah. First Mishnah Me'ilah. We have a Mishnah in Zvachim. And you're telling me now that Rav Yehuda Anasi spent all this time putting together the Mishnayos and obviously to communicate halachas. Now, I can understand and even entertain the idea that Rav Yehuda Anasi in one place wanted to make a very specific point, love the format of the Mishnah, and borrow the format for another Mishnah. And why? Look, we say this all the time. Mishnayos were meant to be memorized. And so therefore, the memorization of the Mishnah, once I have a sing-song, right? We're not supposed to just sing the Mishnayos. We're supposed to understand the Mishnayos. But at the same time, we're also supposed to memorize the Mishnayos. I know we don't, or I'll speak for myself. Okay. But nevertheless, we're supposed to memorize. So if in one of those two locations where this Mishnah, this formatted Mishnah, is specific, so then I get it. So then in the other area, in the other Mishnah, it's imprecise, but Rav Yehuda Hanasi wanted that format, that particular format. And fine, I can get it. But if you're telling me now, the Mishnah here in Me'ilah and the Mishnah in Zvachim, both are imprecise, so then why would Rav Yehuda Hanasi go through the trouble of giving us this particular formulation of the Mishnah, where in both places now, it's going to be imprecise? So Rav Asi's head is about to explode. It can't be. So the Gemara says, Ela la'olam de Me'ilah, dafka. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to say like this. It's our Mishnah, which is to be read with precision. Now, when reading our Mishnah precisely, so our Mishnah over here is not making a point regarding Shas Heter, when exactly is a Shas Heter, because I'll tell you when exactly is a Shas Heter. Well, I won't tell you exactly. I'll give you your options, right? It's either Heter Shechita, or it's Heter Zrika, or it's Heter Achila. Rav Chizkiya says it's Heter Shechita, Rav Yochanan says it's Heter Achila, meaning we'll have various opinions over there. But in terms of the precision of our Mishnah, the precision of our Mishnah is to make a different point. And what is that point? So the point of our Mishnah is that if it is pasul and there is going to be residual blood, or I should say leftover blood, so that leftover blood is still going to have the specific status of the blood of a karban, even though the first issue of blood is going to be a blood which is pasul. Meaning if I have a non-Kohen doing the Kabbalah, okay, so now obviously it's pasul. All right, but what about all the residual blood that comes out? Still has the halach of shirayim. The halach of shirayim has to be poured on the base of the mizbeach. Even though, right, obviously it's a chiddush. Even though you're not sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach, but still shirayim. And the same thing is true for zrika. If a non-Kohen were to do the zrika, so again, so obviously vis-a-vis the karban, it's disqualified. But vis-a-vis any extra or leftover blood has the status of shirayim. That's the point our Mishnah is making. And our Mishnah is not there to give us the defining points of when exactly is considered the heter l'kohanim. Heter l'kohanim, again, we'll go with the various opinions that we've been entertaining. So, af agav dekibo psul, v'zarak v'kibo kasher, v'zarak lav klumhi. So, my time is shirayim ninhu. And the Gemara, and that's exactly, the Gemara is just simply spelling it out. The point of the Mishnah is to give us this halacha that despite the fact that there was a disqualification, either on the Kabbalah side or on the Zrika side, nevertheless, whatever blood is left over is in fact considered Shirayim. Now the Gemara says that that's the point of our Mishnah. So good. So interesting. The only problem with that is V'habamin Eresh Lakish Merav Yochanan Pasal Mal Shiyase Shirayim. So, and meanwhile, there was a discussion in the Beis Medrash between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan on this very topic. Reish Lakish asked Rav Yochanan point blank, is there, if the blood was disqualified and there is leftover blood, does that leftover blood have the status of Shirayim? Va'amar lei, ein lecha davar, shiyase Shirayim ela chutz zman v'chutzim kamo, hol meratzin lepigulon. And Rav Yochanan's response is, well, let me give you an example of what is considered Shirayim despite the fact of the disqualification of the carbon. And that would be machshava, chutzes mano, chutzem kamo. Why? Why is that blood considered shirayim, even though there was a disqualification? And the answer is because when it comes to pigel only realizes, only materializes when all the avoda is done properly. So despite the fact that it's a disqualification, it is a unique disqualification that demands that the avoda be done correctly. Right? It's an irony, it's a bit of a conundrum, but you just say it enough times and, you know, I'll say you get it. I don't know if I get it, but in other words, but I've said it enough times where I understand this is the rules of Machshavas Pigel. Chutzes Mano Chutzem Kamo demand that the Avoda be done correctly. Because the Avoda has to be done correctly, so the leftover blood is considered Shirayim. Now, this is Rav Yochanan's answer to Reish Lakish. It certainly sounds like from the answer that if it was any other kind of disqualification, like a Zar was mekabel the blood, like a Zar did the Zrika of the blood, it sounds like the blood does not have the status of Shirayim. That certainly sounds like what Rav Yochanan, that's incorporated within the answer of Rav Yochanan. So, my lav bar mi psul, so the Gemara says, lo, I feel psul. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Rav Yochanan was giving an example, but there are other cases. Vaha ein lecha ketani. Now the Gemara says, okay, but I'm telling you, if you listen carefully to Rav Yochanan, the wording of Rav Yochanan is, I'm going to give you the example, right? Ein lecha davar. That was Rav Yochanan's response. It certainly sounds like the only time that the leftover blood is going to have shirayim status is only pigel. That certainly sounds like his answer. It didn't sound like he was ready to entertain other examples. So the Gemara says, okay, we're gonna read his answer carefully. Usually it's funny. We make diukim in Mishnayos. We make diukim in Braisos. Here we're making a diuk in the answer of Rav Yochanan. But of course the assumption is that when he speaks carefully. And so therefore, we're going to listen carefully to every word. And if necessary, we're going to explain him as well. Hachi kamar. So Rav Yochanan, when he used that very limiting language of Ein Lecha, what he was describing is, look, Ein Lecha davar she'eino meratz b'tzibur, when it comes to a communal karban, is there pigel that's ever going to work? Is pigel ever going to work? No, never. So when dealing with a communal karban, a karban tzibur, where pigel never works, nevertheless, osa shirayim. Still, whatever leftover blood is from that carbon is going to be treated like Shirayim blood and not just simply disposed of in any manner, but rather it's going to be poured on the base of the Mizbech. When we're talking about something like Tumah, where you know when it comes to Tumah, there are allowances when it comes to Tumah, i.e., if the majority of the community is Tameh, we're going to be bringing Tumah B'tzibor, so Mashri Shirayim. So the blood of a carbon that underwent the disqualification of Tumah, that's going to be treated like Shirayim. Sharp Sulim, the lo istam b'tzibor, lo mashrin Shirayim. Now when it comes to other disqualifications, that there are no allowances for the tzibor, are not going to be subject to Shirayim. But that doesn't, it no longer is a limiting answer. At least it opens the door for other disqualifications. Okay, so that's what we'll say regarding the answer of Rav Yochanan. I'm going to read the last parts of today's daf, but let's just recap. We really only dealt with one question today, and that's the following. Our Mishnah taught us the rule that when it comes to chatos and asham, so the me'ila gets lifted from the meat of the karban when there is a heter lekohanim, when there's an allowance given to the kohanim. What's the pshat in the Mishnah? So we entertain today that there are three possible pshatim of the Mishnah, meaning the point of allowance that the Mishnah is referring to is what exactly? So So the three possibilities are, one, heter shechita, meaning that the shechita was done correctly, and now there is an allowance to the Kohanim. And now we said a good pshat today. At least I think it's a good pshat. What does that mean? There's a heter to Kohanim. Kohanim can't eat it. No, but heter to Kohanim means that now the Kohanim can do Kabbalah. That's one possibility. Another possibility is heter zrika. Heter zrika means that we are going to, that the shechita was done correctly, the Kabbalah Zadam was done correctly, and now we're ready for zrika. Now, where are we over here when we're ready for zrika? I didn't say this in the beginning of today's shiur. It's not too late. Even in the summary, I could say it. So why should it be that that's considered a hetel kohanim? So Kabbalah was already done. So we can't say the pshat that we said previously. So what we have to say in the Rashi or the pseudo Rashi, however you want to make reference to him. So he writes on that Gemara that we read earlier this morning that it's making reference to Omid Lizrok. Well, once it's in the bowl and now we're ready to do Zrika, it's Omid Lizrok and Kola Omid Lizrok Kizarok Dami. That would be the pshat in the second in the second point. Kola Omid Lizrok. Once it is fit to sprinkle, so then it's viewed as if it's already sprinkled. This pshat that I offered, by the way, is a little bit tricky because, quite frankly, it is a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol ha'omid lizrok kezarek dami. The Chachamim disagree. So it is a machlokus ha'tanayim. So the truth of the matter is that although it sounds like a great pshat, the Gemara doesn't whisper a word about Rabbi Shimon. Why should that be? The Rishonim do address that issue, but that's a pshat. And the third possibility is heter achila. I told you that's the most intuitive pshat, at least for me. It's the most intuitive pshat. It simply means now that the Kohanim are able to eat it. And once the Kohanim are able to eat it, the me'ila, the din of me'ila, gets lifted because, obviously, the Kohanim now are able to eat it. Amongst the Moraim, who takes which position? Chizkia takes on the position of heter shechita. Rav Yochanan takes on the position of heter achila. And then from there, discussion. But when we say discussion, by the way, the Gemara doesn't go through any svaras. The Gemara just simply says, how do the Mishnayos read? Does it read better like Chizkiah? Does it read better like Rabbi Yochanan? Or, as we entertained in the beginning of the whole discussion, it reads like neither. It reads, that's right, that's another possibility. The Mishnayos don't read like either one of them. But as we've covered a number of Mishnayos and some Braisos, so basically we still kept every position in play. We're going to do one more Tashma. When it comes to Pigol, so the Isser of Me'ila, the Din of Me'ila perpetuates. It perpetuates. And the reason why is presumably because now that Pigol was done, so now it's not going to be allowed. And because it's not going to be allowed, so therefore there was never a Zman Heter. Now, that we... It should sound familiar. This little brisa that we're reading, a pigol olam olam bo. So we read in yesterday's Gemara as well. Okay. Now lav de lo zarek v'shma mina hetos rika shaninu. Now presumably what it means is that pigol was done at an earlier stage. Let's say shechita or kabbalah, and presumably we're talking about where zrika was not done. And shma mina hetos rika shaninu. And what it means now is that we're at the point of heter zrika. Heter zrika meaning that we have done the shechita and we've done the kabbal sadam. Lo, zarka. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. And the zrika could have been done. Umayla olam, hakamash malan kidrav gidol damar of gidol marav, zrika spigol, eino motzi mide me'ila, veino mevila de me'ila. As far as the language is concerned, the language is not at all influenced by our discussion. Our discussion remains, it's a separate discussion. The language used over there goes back to Daf Gimel, and that is the halacha of Gidol Marav. On Gimel Amid Beis, we were introduced to the halacha of Gidol Marav, that when I have Zrika that was done bipigol, so because the Zrika was done bipigol, so at that point in time, nothing changes. Everything remains the same. By Chatzis and Asham, the Din of Me'ila remains. By Shlamim, the Din of Me'ila does not introduced onto the Imurim. And the reason is because the Zrika Bepigol is now going to be basically a cancellation of the Zrika. Okay, so, but it doesn't impact our discussion. That was back for the discussion of Gidol Marav. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the daf. Tomorrow, Tashma, we pick it up, but we pick it up really right where we left off. Meaning, of the positions of when exactly it's considered Hetel Kohanim, so which position reads best amongst the Mishnayos and Brachos.